Chapter 10. An Eye for Destruction. Felinia's natural intelligence was compromised by her desire for revenge. If she had been operating entirely from a position of rationality, she would have been nowhere near the bomb when it went off. But Felinia was far too invested emotionally in Liberty's struggle for that. She wanted to see her tormentors suffer. She wanted to push the button herself and see the bright fires consume those she hated. A bureaucrat's office high up a tower gave her an unparalleled view of the square. The staff of the building were out for the parade, so she would not be discovered. From the other end of the long street, Korax's statue stared at her knowingly, like he was in on her secret. Hundreds of thousands of people crowded the pavements and spilled into the carriageway. Traffic was suspended for the day. Work was restricted to a single shift for all but the most essential workers. At this little taste of freedom, the people were ecstatic, waving their flags and cheering when there was nothing yet to see. Kiavar and Deliverance had long been joyless worlds. 3 decades on from the revolution, their peoples were only now learning to enjoy themselves. Their happiness was genuine, but rooted in ignorance. They had nothing to be happy about. No real liberty, no real pleasures, no joy beyond waking to find they got to breathe for another day. They had been gulled by their masters with paper flags, promises of a future that would never be delivered, and a moment's release from the drudgery of work. Pitiful, Felinia breathed. Simplistic music bleated down the street canyons of Krav, and a swelling cheer greeted the approaching procession. Marching bands at the fore swung around the base of the statue and passed through Liberty Square. The bands turned onto the crowded road and headed directly towards her, their cheap, mass-produced instruments doggedly mangling a selection of Terran martial songs. Yet for all their pasteboard hats and cheap tawdry, they marched proudly down the road in tight formation. As the bands passed the crowds, they cheered louder, all but drowning out the blare and thump of the music. Behind them walked Therion soldiers and a contingent of Mechanicum cyborg troops, their scarlet uniforms and polished brass components bright in Kiavar's grey day. Felinia didn't care for them. Her eyes were fixed further down the procession, watching for the politicals. No tech guilder of any real consequence took part in a parade. None of the ruling class was that stupid. The marchers were low-ranking officials, young guilders yet to gain good office, or the members of weaker families. Their lowly position was irrelevant to her. They were still guilders, playing the game of power with other people's lives. By now, the front ranks of the guilders' number were walking past the statue. Felinia raised her magnoculars to get a better look. The guilders walked rather than marched, some of the younger ones tossing out strictly rationed handfuls of choconade sweets from baskets carried by servants. They waved and laughed. She let them enjoy half a second more of their lives. "Detonate," she whispered into her collar. A long fist of fire punched out of the lumen tree. The metal shaft broke and the tree turned suddenly and heeled over, like a clown miming a fainting fit. She smiled at the dark shapes of bodies carried off in the blast. The explosion was an instantaneous pleasure, a singular sharp release that was all too brief and gone as soon as the flames. A ball of smoke and dust rose over the square, borne aloft on the force of screams. There was no music now. A front of dust rolled down the road. Felinia was left disappointed she could see nothing of the aftermath through its roil. Korax's bronze face looked blindly at the carnage. It saw nothing of the shattered bodies, nor the crowd stampeding in their panic. It did not see a woman leave an office building and slip away into the confusion. A perimeter of interlinked riot shields ringed the blast site, each backed by an anonymous shock trooper. Enforcer Principal Diordan Tensat halted before them. They stared resolutely over his head, shields locked. He frowned. Muttering blackly to himself, he fished out a double-headed eagle badge from his long coat and held it up to be scanned. The shock group leader emerged from behind the wall of shields to inspect it. His high white helmet was already coated by the settling dust. Enforce the principle, the Orden Tensat, said Tensat. A lens unit hovered up from the shock group leader's comms pack on the end of a flexible cable. Low-intensity las lights stuttered and blasted the badge, activating the hologlyphs within. Marks of authority scrawled sideways through the air part way between the two men, then coyly slid out of view.
My apologies for keeping you waiting, sir. Security here must be tight.
Tensat grunted testily. The shock troop leader stepped aside. His men opened up their shields and closed them smoothly as he passed within. The enforcer principal glanced back.
Idiots, he thought.
His uniform, badge, and face were known to all of them. The Procurator Mechanical was already there, his grav motors buzzing as he floated over the devastation and plucked at debris that caught his many glass eyes. Multi-jointed limbs darted down in undulating sequence, like a machine harvester or a spider weaving a web. Tensat was restricted to the limbs he was born with. He relied on the time-honored locomotion of boots pushing against the ground, and so was forced to pick his way through the gobbets of human flesh littering the blasted-up rockcrete, like so many moist red flowers. He got it on his boots. It clung to the soles. He was cursing and flicking off the remains of some poor low-rank gilder when the procurator floated over, the smell of hot metal gusting from the exhaust ports hidden under his robes.
Enforcer Principal Tensat, you are finally here.
I had a little difficulty getting through the cordon, Tensat grumbled.
They did not let you through, said the Procurator emotionlessly. They are your own men.
The Procurator had no name and no gender. In fact, Tensat was not sure if it was always the same person. He used the term loosely. Its synthetic voice was so devoid of emotion, it was impossible to tell what it was thinking. He hated dealing with the Mechanicum. Discourse with them was stripped of all subtext. It was worse than communicating by vox text. He had decided to ascribe a smug, superior tone to it some time ago. It seemed to fit.
Having me flash my credentials was a show for the public, he said.
Defensive now, his organization was criticized by an outsider.
The site is secure. This is a positive input.
Throughout their conversation, the Procurator continued to pluck repetitively at the ground. It had no staff, but was accompanied by a swarm of assistant servo skulls. Tensat was alone. He preferred it that way, and would have been happier if the Procurator were not there. But circumstances of government dictated their cooperation.
Too little too late, muttered Tensat. Where was security before the damn bomb went off?
The area was swept 1 hour before the parade, said the Procurator. Nothing was found.
How well was it swept? Asked Tensat.
Your men performed the duty, not mine.
Tensat shook his head. He hunched into his long coat and looked around the square. The power in that sector had been shut off and nearby manufactoria evacuated. Without the constant heat generated by Kiovar's industry, the planet's natural chill was free to assert itself.
It was in the Lumentry, he said.
He pointed at the space until recently occupied by the sculpture.
An obvious conclusion, but correct, said the Procurator.
Wasn't it inspected during the security sweep?
I refer you to my earlier comment, Enforcer Principal.
It was checked, though.
Affirmative.
And the last time?
Tensat looked around the square.
By the Emperor's coming. Such devastation.
This is military-grade explosives.
Has to be.
Something clicked in the Procurator's skull.
City cogitators record the last hatch opening to have been 17 days, 4 hours and 12 minutes ago for routine maintenance. It is my hypothesis that the device was planted after this.
Sensors can be deceived.
So can your men, said the Procurator.
Tensat scowled. He ducked a servo skull. Delicate metal pincers jutted out where once a human tongue had spoken, bearing a bloody sample bag. He picked his way across the ground to the edge of the crater. The bottom of the lumen tree had been atomized. The hole left was 2 meters deep and steeply conical. Carbonized material and chunks of rubble were laid out in neat radii around the hole. Close by, the material was pulverized. Larger pieces lay around it, mainly slabs of rockcrete heaved up by the blast, then fist-sized lumps scattered from the hole, graded by distance down to the fine dust plastering the facades of the buildings around the square. The debris field was roughly elliptical, with ragged edges, the result of differing densities in the material destroyed, or maybe evidence of a shaped charge. But it was regular. Physics was remarkably fastidious. Tensat peered into the crater. The city foundation was thick. Grav was built on a floating skin of rockcrete over ancient mining pits, and the blast had done no more than dent the substrate. Fused optical fibers still glowed in the pit, the light intended for the lumen tree bleeding off into dusty air. From the look of it, the bomb was pushed into the optics piping, out of sight but within reach. Didn't they think to check deeper inside?
Negative. Cursory would be my definition of the security sweep, said the procurator.
Tensat twisted his mouth. Today he would not rise to the procurator's jibes.
A meter down, perhaps more.
A powerful bomb. It's a deep hole.
It is my opinion, said the procurator, that the perpetrator wished to inflict maximum damage while avoiding large amounts of incidental casualties.
56 people died in the crowd, said Tensat. That is the definition of a large amount.
Nevertheless, the target was the Guild Marchers. There are a number of alternative placings for an explosive device in this area. All would have increased the casualty rate significantly.
It's all murder.
Tensat scanned over the ruined flesh stuck to the ground.
I don't know why they're gunning for the likes of them. These poor bastards are the lowest of the low.
I surmise that the suspect would regard them as a valid target. The guilds are the target.
The procurator chugged away and began plucking at another area.
Why?
Tensat called after it.
Why don't they bomb you? There's more than a few people believe that the Mechanicum is responsible for their misery.
The procurator swiveled serenely on the spot, its ribbed arms still snatching at the ground and secreting pieces of the truth about itself. Flinders of bone and rubble went into pouches brought by its grisly servants.
We seek maximum efficiency. Happiness is not a relevant calculational factor.
There are other parties who believe your priesthood is destabilizing the guilds itself, said Tensat.
That is nonsensical. If Mars wished to be rid of the tech guilds, there are other ways. If the people seek blame, they should look to the Primarch. The Imperial hegemony, at Lord Korax's request, granted suzerainty over Kiavar to the Mechanicum, only if the existing power structure were retained beneath our governance. It is an arrangement that suits us well. The guilds are native. We are not. Smooth interfacing of Mechanicum stroke non-Mechanicum peoples is better assured by continued guild presence. Though inferior in most capacities, the guilds have access to technology we lack. We do not wish to lose it through purge.
Tensat walked over the uneven ground.
Yes, but they're not sharing that technology.
Are you accusing the Mechanicum of impropriety?
Queried the procurator.
Actions of this sort are a breach of our treaty terms for overlordship of this world.
I'm not accusing you of anything, said Tensat. For what it's worth, I don't think it's your kind, priest. This is something else. There have been a dozen murders.
I suggest assassinations, said the procurator. The motive here is political.
Assassinations, then. A dozen of them. Sabotage of guild holdings, remote attacks on data nets.
This is a campaign. Why aren't there any demands?
There are, said a deep, inhuman voice.
A legionary stepped out of the shadow around Korax's statue. One moment, there was nothing there. The next, 2 meters of transhuman warrior clad in ceramite was bearing down on him. Tensat started. His shock would have been profound had he not witnessed the Raven Guard's uncanny stealth many times before. His unobtrusive rank badges suggested this was no line trooper, but someone of importance. Bad news. Tensat shut his mouth before he could be accused of gawping.
I was about to say we need to sort this out before the Legion gets involved.
I would say that it is too late for that, said the Legionary.